Tom Barkley, I thought he did it. I thought he did a nice job. Pretty much what I thought last night when I left here. He went into the game. We tried to protect him a little bit there on the 2-minute drive, and then really at halftime, we made some protection adjustments, or just really not really adjustments, which way we were going to lean in the second half. But I thought in the run game he was physical. That's a trait that we really like in Don. I thought the pass protection, a lot of his things were technical, but I thought he did a solid job. And like I've said, when a rookie comes in for his first time in game action, and you're able to keep playing throughout your game plan, I think that's a big credit to him.
Mike, did you see enough that you would consider, if you have TJ back this week, to move him back to left guard and play Barkley right tackle?
Well, I mean, obviously there's you're always evaluating every position in Don's case. We are looking at him at right tackle, because I really don't know what TJ's case is going to be. So that's one of the individuals we're still gathering information. I don't have a feel if TJ's going to be ready for this week. So really probably get a little ahead of ourselves. That's probably a question better asked on Wednesday.
Mike, do you have to consider then some other personnel or roster decisions if you're not sure about TJ? You're obviously off Big Ten there.
Well, hey, I mean, when my day starts and ends with a lot of conversation with Ted Thompson, obviously we have a lot going on our active roster, so we're juggling a number of things right now.
Mike, is there any knowing what you know now, which obviously isn't the full injury report, is there any reason to think that the two major injuries, TJ and Jordy, will be something that will linger for a while?
I would say TJ Lang and Jordy Nelson's injuries are not of serious nature. I don't know how many weeks or Jordy would be out. I think he'd be pressed hard to play this week. Once we get past the initial couple days and see what he can do on a practice field, those questions will be answered. And TJ, I feel probably a little better about TJ than I do about Jordy.
Anything else come up today and the day after?
Yeah, that's we have a couple guys that are being evaluated. Nothing of serious nature, but we'll have it for you Wednesday.
Mike, was that the same hamstring for Jordy?
Yes. Correct.
Is there any concern at all with that reoccurring for him?
Concern? Well, Jordy actually felt something in pregame, so he went back in the training room and tried to play through it. So it's part of where we are in our season. Our roster has been stressed. The receivers, some of their numbers are up as far as the reps are playing. And Jordy is a very durable player, but I'm not concerned about it. So it's just it's kind of the way our season's gone so far.
Mike, have you had a chance to talk to Greg today and how he felt coming out of the game or the day after, given he played probably more than he thought he would?
I have not spoken to Greg. I think he played 51 plays in a game, so but that was more than you probably would have liked coming out of a situation. But he communicated throughout the game, and I'm sure he's sore. This is really what the little bit I've talked to Pepper and those guys. I mean, he was sore coming out of the game, which I think would be expected.
Mike, how much of a chance do you give Charles and Clay, and what's kind of your
plan? Charles and Clay, Charles is probably I would think maybe next week. Would be my guess there. But if you ask Charles, he's probably pushed to play this week. But there's some more testing that you have to do to make sure he's cleared, he's not been cleared yet. And I know Clay worked out today. I have not got the results of that down in the Hudson Center.
Mike, what do you think of the response that Mason got from his teammates and also from the crowd after the 47-yard field goal?
Well, hey, anytime they're cheering, I think that's a good thing. So I'm not going to complain about it. I think it tells you what the confidence level is in Mason. Obviously he missed the one right there before half. I thought our team was affected by the end of the second quarter. As far as the touchdown by the Vikings going up 14-10, and had a couple injuries. We were able to. I thought Aaron did an excellent job in a 2-minute drive. just with the conservative nature that we went about it, and you know, then basically missing that field goal was, you know, was a letdown going into the locker room. So, and then coming out of the second half, you know, our first two plays in the second half definitely weren't exemplary, you know, with kicking it out of bounds at a long run. But I thought Morgan Burnett changed that game around with that, with the interception, and frankly, you know, I'm not changing. I'm not wavering on Mason. He needs to make kicks. He needs to make the long kick. I expect him to make that kick before the half. But you know, once again, we're just going to keep swinging because we're going to need Mason to make big kicks down the stretch here. We're in the fourth quarter of our season, and he will be a big part of our success.
Mike, on the I think start of the third quarter, your first possession, kicked the field 47-yard field goal. They called a timeout right before that. Were you going to go for it until they called that timeout?
Well, I had a play called. So, I mean, we had a play called. We had a good play call. They were in transition. Obviously, I think they had 12 guys on the field. So, then once they called a timeout, to me, the situation changes there. So, that's why I decided to go for the field goal.
You guys have you've really tried to lock down on missed tackling and improve in that area. When you go back and look at the tape, and it's Adrian Peters, did you agree on a turn a little bit?
No. I think that's a terrible mindset to get in. Hey, I mean, I think we've been glowing about the respect that we have for Adrian Peterson, and rightfully so, he's earned it in this league. But, you know, I don't care who's in the backfield. You know, you can't go out and give up over 200 yards rushing and say, you know, we stopped them, you know, 18, 19 times, but on each three runs he had 160. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you know, they all count. They all count. Now, when you correct it, That's part of the correction. That's part of the classroom. That's part of the lesson. But we were double digits of missed tackles, and that's not cutting it. So our season will be judged, obviously, over the whole season. But and we have definitely increased our tackling production. But yesterday was not where we need to be. So we had a couple of times where we had, you know, two, three missed tackles on a play, and we got to do a better job here.
You see yourself going forward with a split running back still, or did James do enough yesterday to perhaps –
We'll stay the course probably. As we game plan, we're gonna stay the course the way we've gone. You know, but it, you know, if you feel one's going a little better than the other, you know, maybe we'll lean that way. I leaned that way a little bit with James. I thought Alex, you know, running the ball, did a very good job. You know, I felt watching he graded out a little higher on the video than I probably might have been aware of during the game. But I thought James ran the ball very hard yesterday.
Are you starting to get a feel, or is there a way you can work where you start to get a complement between the two, where you know the defense might think you're going to run one play with one guy and you end up running?
Well, that's what self-scout's for, and really the complement is, you know, is really the balance I think we had with those guys. So, you know, if we can keep them both around, you know, 12, 15, that's a good day. I mean, anytime you rush the ball over 30 attempts. Good things happen, so we'll kind of head that way, and we'll, you know, the game dictates that too. So, production, what they're doing, things we feel they do, but you know, there's a lot of different components that are involved in that thought process.
On a percentage basis, your run carries are up, I think, from 44 to 46 from last year. Was that part of your offseason emphasis, or is that just kind of the way defenses are playing you, and that's just kind of a response to it? Or
you should get more sleep at night. You're reading too many statistics. You know, every game is different. Every year is different. You encounter things during the season that make you play one way versus the other. You know, your opponent has something to do with it sometimes. I mean, you do want to play to your identity. I like the way our team looked as far as the run-pass ratio. But at the end of the day, it's about scoring points. You know, we didn't score enough points yesterday. That's something that we'll continue to push. We have very talented personnel. To score points too, so we always keep that in mind when we game plan.
I guess I was wondering because you know potential the weather can be bad here in January. I mean, and it helps to have more of a running game in case that happens. So I was wondering if you know.
Absolutely, no. We're very conscientious of the weather changing and the importance of running it. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's definitely part of our thinking.
Two more.
How concerned are you, Mike, about the penalties over the last three games? Are they, you know, a lot of mental errors, or do you think it's more just?
Well, I think they're more combative. You know, we've got some, you know, matchups up front. You know, I don't agree with every penalty that's called. Like we can get that, you know, straight right now. So I think it's You know, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, we correct it. You know, pre-snap penalties and things like that, those are the ones that you're obviously really hard on and emphasize. But, you know, the holding calls, you don't want them. But, you know, I wouldn't say we're blatantly holding. You know, we had the one on Dietrich was poor. You know, we got beat across our face or, you know, things like that. Because of the two-shell defenses, the quarter defenses that we're seeing more line movement in our offensive line. Is you know, they're challenged more there with those types of things, and we'll just continue to work it. You know, playing a different combination of guys up there. The stunt game is something that experience does definitely help you.
On Tremont's penalty, Mike, do you think in any way officials are going to be too far with player safety in mind?
Well, you know, if I say we're going too far with player safety, I mean, I would never make a statement like that. I mean, I don't know why you'd ask me that question. I mean, player safety is at the forefront of what they're trying to get done here. I don't disagree with anything like that. But, you know, I will say this. We've had some hits by our guys. You know, we're trying to get our guys to play harder and be more physical. And, you know, we've had some things where guys are trying to do it the right way. You know, going with their shoulder and so forth. So when you do have the tight call, the gray hair area hits, there's a little bit of, you know, here we go again. I mean, I'm talking about Brad Jones, you know, Ryan Taylor, you know, McMillan. I mean, we've had some tough calls go against us. So you just got to continue to coach through that. And the league has obviously made it a priority. The fines reflect that. You don't want to see anybody lose money, particularly when the intent's not there. I mean, we're not. Intending to hit helmet to helmet, and I don't think anybody's coaching or teaching that. But you know, it's tough when you see a call go the other way when you don't agree with it.
Did that hit look different to you when you watched
it? I could see why he called it. You know, I could see why the flag was thrown from the angle of the referee. You know, and based on the body action, you know, of the running back too. I think definitely had something to do with it. Well, I think the most important thing about third down was the down and distance we were in. We were in favorable down and distances on third down pretty much throughout the day. You know, we had a couple of short ones that we should have converted too. So we could have even had a better day on third down. But you know, a big part of that is staying in favorable down and distance. You know, our ability to, you know, pass protect, give Aaron clean looks, and let our guys play. I mean, we've got an extra perimeter group, and you know, I think any time we can let them stress out a coverage unit, it'll play to our favor.
Mike, I know you didn't like the outcome of it, but how'd you feel about the trick play? I mean, did you?
How'd I feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, did you?
What?
I know the outcome is bad, but up until the interception, did you think it worked the way you wanted it to?
Well, if it had worked, it would have been a touchdown. I mean, that was the intent.
Yeah, but a lot could have gone wrong before he threw the ball. I mean, it looked to me like he just underthrew it. That was the only thing wrong with it.
Well, there's definitely some technical things that we needed to do better. So, I mean, I think if you sit there and break down and analyze the whole play, the front side blocking, I mean, there's a lot of little components that also go into a trick play. I mean, there's no set pocket. It's a moving pocket. And I think if Aaron had a, you know, a little cleaner pocket, he wouldn't underthrow the football. You know, I think Josh Sitton did a good job coming and taking the color away from him. But you could tell Aaron felt that. And he short-stroked it and, you know, didn't get the ball. And the other part of it is, the DB never comes down with the football. So we got to do a better job breaking it up on the back end. We could have sold it a little better on the front end. You know, the protection is moving. And that's why I call him once a year.
Mike,